Share with you a passage in the Bible for our mutual exhortation. This morning, I would like to share a few characters that you should be very, very familiar with. But at the same time, though you are very familiar with them and with what happened to them, though you are familiar, but at the same time, when we ask about the details, it seems kind of blur. It seems not that very clear. So this morning, we are going to talk about the three friends of Daniel. What do we say that though it seems familiar, but it seems that we are familiar with their story, but we are not familiar with them? Because every time when we mention this three characters, what do we know them by? We only know them by, they are the three friends of Daniel's. But if I ask you, what is their name? Sometimes you have a question mark. They are the friend of Daniel. Their name is not important. So sometimes whenever I read this passage, I read this story, I feel kind of... I sometimes wonder if I were them, how would I feel? You know that they were like the supporting actors. After the show, everybody only remember the main character, main actor and main actress. But how many people remember the supporting actor? Not that many. You know that in the beginning, they were the one that fasting, they were the one that pray with Daniel. They were the one that eat vegetable and drink water with Daniel. But the Bible mainly only record about the story of Daniel. And later, when Daniel were in trouble, Daniel need God to reveal the dream. Who did they go for? They went to pray with those friends, these three friends. They prayed together, and God only revealed to Daniel. Fine. And later, Daniel was promoted into high position. What happened to these three friends? Nothing. So how did they get their job? Daniel go and ask for them. So they were given like just jobs. So sometimes I think to myself, if I were these three friends, how would I feel? How would I feel? We do the same thing. How come God only revealed it to Daniel? We all work together. How come he is all the way on the top? We are just, a regular worker. And we pray together. We all have the faith. How come the book was named after Daniel? The book is not called Daniel and his three friends. Also, that people doesn't like to be neglected. Or should I say that people enjoy to be under the spotlight. They like to be known. They like to be famous. They like to be well-remembered. So if we are not the main character, we start to become envious. Our eyes turn red. Next time when Daniel come, I'm not going to pray with him. Let him do his own thing. So sometimes we are like that, but these three friends are not like this. These three friends are not like this. So even though they were not the main characters, even though they are not as well known by us, even though they only take one chapter, only one whole chapter about them, even though their name is not named for a book, but it's okay. Though men didn't remember them as much, but in God's book, they were recorded in detail. Also, we want to take a look of their story of these heroes, the warriors that's not well known, that's behind the curtain. Let's see how does the Bible describe their work, that they were. How were they recorded in the Bible? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. You should be very familiar with this story already. Our king built a golden image, and what happened? Everybody need to bow down to the image when they hear the sound of the when they hear the sound of the musical instrument. Let's see what happened in verse 7. In verse 7, therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. You know that when we read this verse, fine, this is just a description. So you read it very quickly, you went through it. But if you stop, slow down, meditate about it, and then you try to picture what it was like. In the plain of Dura, many of your co-workers, a lot of them, people that you know, people that you don't know, everybody were there. And in front is the golden image and the king. Fine. And now you hear the music. You know what you should do. You know what you shouldn't do. But the problem is, out of all these people next to you, everybody bow down on the ground. I said, what happened? You were the only one left standing alone. How do you feel? You know, try to think about it. Everybody who knows you, who doesn't know you, who like you, who dislike you, who are your friends, who are your co-workers, who are your enemies at work, they all bow down, so you are the only one that's standing there. How awkward. How embarrassing. So sometimes we think it's easy. What's wrong with it? What's the big deal? But if you put yourself in that situation, in front of you, the image and the king, who look at you very angry. Around next to you, everybody look at you, laugh at you, thinking that, this guy, he's in trouble. Would you be able to stand alone when the whole world is against you? Would you be able to uphold your faith and your integrity and your belief when everyone is on the opposite side of you? That's how difficult it is for Daniel's three friends. It's not that easy when you are the only one that remains standing, that stands alone against the trend of the world, against the current of the world. You have other choice. You can choose to give up. Too embarrassing. Let's bow down together. God knows I'm weak, so it's okay. Justify myself. Excuse myself. You can pretend. Sort of bowing down. My back hurts. Bending a little bit. Just so that you wouldn't get yourself embarrassed. Like what I was talking about earlier, when it comes to a mealtime, saying grace in front of other people. You know, when I was working, sometimes we have a business meal. We have to go out eat with customers, and eat with the boss, the managers, and the customers. And sometimes we are the only Christian on the table. So they were all talking. And when they serve the food, what do you do? They were all talking to you. What do you do? Shall you say grace before your meal? Shall you tell the customer, hey, hold on, wait, I need to say grace? Would you do that? Oh, you are like taking your fork, taking your spoon at the same time? It's your choice. You know, sometimes we're just, you know, trying to get away with it, right? Trying to make our life easier. So yes, it's your choice. When they hear the song, they can like, oh, you know, bending a little bit, doing this and that, just to pretend that they are no different than everyone else. Also, sometimes our youth, when they meet new friends, they will sometimes during the conversation, you will hear this, oh, so what do you believe? You know, Christian, like everyone else. Oh, really? You're a Christian, me too. So, what church do you go to? You know, Christian church, like everyone else. Oh, really? What's the name of your church? I'm serious, I heard this. You know, sometimes we're trying to get away or to avoid showing who we are by pretending that we are bending and bow down. And in our heart, we say, no, I wasn't bowing down. I was just, you know, itchy. But does it really work? You know, ask yourself again. Sometimes we try to excuse ourselves by, God, understand. It's okay. Oh, God, understand that I am weak. So we excuse ourselves. But for them, the way to become a warrior of faith, the way to keep their faith and keep their integrity is when you hear the song, you remain stand. You stand strong and firm. Even the whole world is against you. Even your friend laugh at you. Even your co-workers look you weird. Even when people criticize about your faith, you remain strong. Even the whole world is on the other side. So what happened when you try to keep your integrity? Let's read verse 8. Verse 8. At this time, some Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They say to the king Nebuchadnezzar, so accuser comes. So when you try to make a difference in your life, what happened? When you try to stand strong, what happened? When you try to remain your integrity and uphold your faith, what happened? The accuser come. Do not think you're going to have it easy. It's not going to be easy. Every time when you try to make a difference in your life, every time when you want to start something new, a new transformation, make a difference, what happened? The accusers come. You know, I still remember that back in college years. That's many, many years ago. When I was in the dormitory. And the interesting thing is, because in our dormitory, usually the same major, the student from the same major, the same department, we stay in the same wing, the same location. So in reality, we are all competitors for the ranking, for the school ranking. So whenever it comes to finals week, we have people knocking on our door all the time. Doing what? Oh, I got comic book in here. Maybe I should just store in here for a while. Oh, I got this animation. I got this new video game. We are passing stuff. And they will try to, like, even people you don't know, they will try to store their goodies in your place. So what? So that you don't get to study during the finals week. Every time when you determine, this time I'm going to study hard. This time I'm going to get good grade. This time I'm going to forget about going out and have fun. I'm going to sit here for 8 hours straight to do my reading. And that's when they knock on the door. Hey, I got this fun thing for you. Video games. I don't have rooms in my place. Can I just store it in here? You know, that's a lot of times when you try to make a difference in your life, that's when accuser comes. That's when hindrance comes. That's when temptation comes. How many of us, every time when it comes to January, we have this New Year resolution? And then what? You have New Year resolution for every new year. And then you repeat the resolution every single year. Every year he said, this is the year I am going to read the Bible once. I have been saying this for the past 10 years, but this year is different. I'm going to read it once. I'm going to do it. And then what happened? Every time when you make this determination, then you start in Genesis, and then you go into exile in the Exodus, and then what happened? Then you die in the wilderness. You never got out of it. You never enter into Canaan. Why? Because things always come up. When you try to kneel down and pray, your friend call you. When you try to read Bible, something came up. There are always things that's trying to stop you from or locate your time and fulfill your determination. So what do? You can always, you know what, God knows I'm weak. You know, so in March, you know that you're so behind in your reading. You say, fine, I will wait for another 9 months and I will do a new resolution again. I promise. You do promise after promise. So, when you try to make a difference in your life, when you try to make a new decision, you say, I determine, this time is going to be different. After NYTS, pray, Bible reading, class, impelled by the power of the Lord, moved by the Holy Spirit, this time is going to be different. It's going to be different than last year, because last year, it only lasted me for 1 week. After I left NYTS, I go on, post-NYTS? So after post-NYTS, back to the reality, and I use up all the energy, all the battery that I stored in here. In 1 week, this time, determined, 2 weeks, I'm going to be different in 2 weeks. Hopefully next time, I will be different for 1 month. You know, we are always in this cycle, We come here, and then right after we leave here, we climb, make a big drop, we are like climbing mountains in here, right? But after you finish in here, when you leave this door, you are like falling off the cliff. From the top of the mountain, you drop all the way to the bottom. We are repeating the same thing every time, and aren't you tired of it? Also, this time you say, I'm so tired of this. This time, I'm going to keep my prayer habit. You know what? When you make that determination, accuser will come. Something will come up. Something will try to grab you away from this determination. Something will try to alter your decision of making a difference. Something will try to tempt you and snatch you away from your new goal to pursue after God. Now, so, when the accuser comes, what do you do? Well, let's continue. Let's get back to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. Furiously with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Finally, we know their name, And verse 14. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true that you do not serve my God, nor worship the image I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not do it, if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing fire. Then, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So now they were accused. They were accused for not worshiping. So the king called them. So now you stand in front of the king with rage. So it's not like your boss. Your boss at work, what can they do to you? The most, they'll just fire you. So you will say to yourself, it's okay, fire my boss, I'll find a new job. But the king could have killed you. Your life is a threat. So in front of the king, everyone is looking at you and they are curious what will happen to you. Everyone around you is looking at you. So the king angry, furious, looking at you and say, how dare you not listening to my decree. But at the same time, what did he say to you? I will give you one more chance. Oh. You know that one more chance is usually the problem. A lot of times, when we face the challenge of life, usually the second chance is what really threatens us. You know exactly what you shouldn't do. You know exactly what you should do. Oh, because you are educated, you are trained since young. And so when you go to work, the boss told you, hey, come to work on Saturday, huh? We're very busy, so you need to come and work on Saturday. And the first time you were like, no. No compromise. No negotiate. Then the boss will be like, you know, it's not that easy to find a job right now. You know how many people are looking for a job? How many people want your job? So first they threat you. And second, what do they say? You know what? Let me make you a deal. You don't have to come every week. How about once a month? You know that this is the second chance. The second challenge is usually where we give in. Oh, yeah, maybe we should, you know, compromising here. God understand. It's okay. God knows I'm weak. God knows I need this job. God knows I need a new car. So I need this job. So, yeah, we can try to negotiate and try to play around with the rules. So the second chance is where really threats us. So we have to be very careful because a lot of times that's how the world tempts us. It tempts you with some benefits and then it threatens you with losing certain benefits. And then at the end, they will tell you one thing. Look around you. Which God can save you from my hand? Because when you stand there in front of the king, what do you see? You saw the golden image, the idol made of gold. People like gold, huh? You see the golden image. You see the boss, the furious king. You look around you. Your colleague, your friend, nobody will stand up for you. Nobody will speak up for you. Where is God? A lot of times you don't see God. It's as if God is not there for you. You look up, no, I don't see any help. You look down, you only see your enemies, people against you. And you look forward, only the king is threatening you. Who can save you away from my hand? Which God can be there for you? No, you look around. It's like there's no way out. You are at the dead end. And then you cry, God, where are you? How come you don't send down thunder, lightning, kill these people? No, a lot of times you don't see it. If you just look around, you won't see them. You do not expect God will stretch out his hand almighty from up from the sky and crush the image and crush Nebuchadnezzar along with it. It doesn't work this way. You need to make determination even before you see the hand of God. So what do they say? Let's turn back to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Verse 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. Verse 18, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God, nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. So how do they reply? You know that at this very moment, they have no way out. It's a dead end for them. Do not try to sneak away from the situation, because in your life, sometime, if not now, one day, you will face a dead end. no way out. You can no longer do this bending to worship, this taking the fork to say grace. You one day you will not be able to do this. You have to face the challenge with no way out. And at this moment, you don't see the work of God. You don't see the hand of God helping you. So what do you do? What do they say? They say, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, let me make this straight with you. Let me tell you that, oh, boss, let me get this straight with you. He said that my God is able. Oh, so this is what? Faith. What do you believe? Do you believe that when there's no way out, when you are facing a challenge of lifetime, do you believe that your God is able to help you? You know that when we kneel down and pray, we are, oh, yes, yes, God, you are almighty. We always say, God, almighty. But when we have problem, we don't remember that he's almighty. We are trying to carry all the burden on our own. We start to doubt, can you do it? Are you sure? There's no way out. So in our lips, we say that, God, you are almighty. But when we are facing real challenge, we don't believe in it. We live or we make our decision if God is unable to help you. Also for them, they know exactly God is able. And then the second thing they say is, God will. God will save me. I know God will save me because I believe in his mercy. So when you kneel down and pray, do you believe God is able to help your situation? And do you believe that he is willing to help you, to show his mercy on you? You have to believe. If you come, you kneel down, and you don't believe anything, and what's the use of your prayer? You say, oh, I want Holy Spirit. But when you kneel, when you come to the front, you say, no, I'm not going to receive Holy Spirit. Then you are not going to receive Holy Spirit because you don't believe in God. So they do believe God is able, God has the power, and God is willing, God has the mercy. But at the same time, they yield the decision to the hand of the Lord. Yes, I know you are able. Yes, I know you are willing, but you make the decision. I respect your decision. So they say, even if he does not help us, he does not rescue us, you should know we will never worship you. What is it? This is the principle of faith. You know, a lot of times we like to make negotiation. We like to negotiate. We are in trouble, threatening, difficulties at work, struggling in our faith. So we try to make a deal. We come down, we kneel down, we pray, we try to do negotiation. God, if you do this, and I will do that for you. If you help me this, and I will keep my faith for you. We are always waiting for a sign. As we are just making a bargain. Making a bargain. Oh. Sometimes we listen so many testimonies. You know, in our testimony we hear, oh, these people, in order to keep Sabbath, so he lost his job, but then God gave him much more. God helped his business, so he became a rich man. So when we facing the challenge of Sabbath, what do? God, make me a rich man. God, you know, if I keep Sabbath, I get rid of this job, you're going to give me something much better, right? God, if I lost this job, you're going to give me something much more. If I close my shop on Sabbath, then my business will go triple on Sunday, right? You know that a lot of times we have this thing preoccupied our mind. We think we should get something out of it, as is a negotiation, as a compromise, as a bargain with the Lord. But for them, for these warriors of faith, what is it for them? Is a principle. It doesn't matter if God saves or God does not save. It's a principle. Yes, so what if God didn't save them and they were burned in the furnace? Does that change anything? Yeah, maybe from our perspective, what a sad story. They were burned alive into ashes. But what is it in God's eyes? Nothing changes. When they determine, at the very moment when they proclaim their faith by shouting out, even though I will not worship your image, I will never bow down to it. When they uphold the principle of their faith, the story ends in here. You know, a lot of times we like to flip to the next page and, oh, the angels walk with them in the fire. Oh, they were not burned. You know, my personally feel that the story has ended when they make the proclamation. Say, I will never bow down to it. Why? This is my principle of faith. I will never do it. Doesn't matter if God saved. Doesn't matter if there's a miracle. Doesn't matter if I get something much better out of it. Doesn't matter. Because I have uphold my principle. So the story ends there. Their proclamation win them the title of the warrior of the Lord. So today, when you kneel down and pray, when you are in tribulation, when you are facing a challenge, what do you do? Are you trying to wait for the sign of the God to help you? Only when I see the power of God, I will make my decision. Or when you kneel down, you try to make a bargain. Only when you do this, I will do that. Or you will be able to make a great proclamation. I would never do it because it's something I shouldn't. I would never bow down because I'm upholding my principle for the Lord. If you can do that, then when on the glorious day, on the day of glory, you will be able to stand along with these glorious warriors. And you will be able to inherit the crown of glory along with them. And the Lord will say to you, good job, well done. My good servant, you can come in and enjoy my splendor. Let's all come forward to pray.